Welcome to Explode Your Coaching Business Podcast, helping coaches, speakers, and trainers to live their purpose, grow their business, and make an impact in the world. Now, here's your host, Simona Vincenzi.
Hello, hello, hello. Here is a Explode Your Coaching Business Podcast brought to you by gtex.org.uk. Growing together exponentially. I am your host, the one and the only super sexy Simone Vincenzi, and this is the podcast for coaches, speakers, trainers who want to grow their businesses by making an impact in the world. Today's episode is sponsored by Explode Your Coaching Business Training. So for more, visit www.gtex.org.uk/start. I'm so excited about today's show as I had the pleasure to interview the one and the only Oli Borsev. He's a young entrepreneur, he's 19, he's crazy, right? Who has been featured in Forbes, Entrepreneurs.com, and more than 200 publications before the age of 16. And we are going to talk about how to get the attention of the media, how you connect with influencers, as he met and he had a picture with Richard Branson. We are going to talk also about investing, giving out equities in your business, role models, raising capital, and waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Would you do that? Let's see what Oli has to say about that. And so much more. So make sure you listen until the end. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast. Hello and welcome to another episode of Explode Your Coaching Business Show. Here is Simone Vincenzi, your host, the one and the only. And today we have the pleasure to have this interview, to interview one of the, for me, like the youngest and best entrepreneurs that I've ever met. And his name is Oli Borsev. He left school when he was 16 and now is running a few successful businesses and is owner of a magazine, and he met Richard Branson. So Oli, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Very well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
That's perfect. It's brilliant having you there. It was brilliant seeing you here tonight. First of all, what I would love to know from you is, what got you to start your own business? I mean, a lot of people would just say, oh, you left school at 16, you know, just get a job as a waiter, or you never do anything with your life. But you turned it around. So tell us a bit more about that before we go into how you get media exposure and how you connect with influencers like Richard Branson.
Sure. So, you know, brief background, school was never for me. I couldn't read until I was 15. And school was for me. I would sit in an exam room and switch off halfway through because, well, first of all, I can't read a question, but B, I was too busy thinking on what's next. But I'll take you back right to the beginning where I basically started my first business at age 13, which was a online gift shop for teenagers. So basically the platform just connected almost the perfect present to the mum, the dad, for their son or daughter. And that grew pretty much double every year. And from there, the media were picking up on the story and people like, The Telegraph, The Daily Mail, Forbes magazine, Entrepreneur.com, The Huffington
Post. So let me stop you there. Okay. So at 13, you were featured in Forbes magazine, Entrepreneurs.com and all that.
Yeah. Daily Mail.
Wow.
Guardian.
That's crazy. Keep going.
Thank you. So from the age of 13 to 16, I think I was in probably 200 media publications. So 200 different articles, basically. Or, you know, about the story. And what was quite interesting, a lot of young people were saying, my God, like, how do you go and start your own business? And that was the inspiration to go and create your own entrepreneurs magazine for particularly aspiring entrepreneurs. And, you know, back when I was starting, well, I couldn't read, so I had I just watched YouTube channels.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of students want to go and start their own business. So that was kind of the eureka moment. That grew to 50,000 readers in the first year.
Wow. And,
which is cool. Meeting some very interesting people, like Richard Branson.
You named one.
Yeah, Casey Price, who's he's rather interesting. And from meeting these interesting people, people were then saying, okay, how do I meet this person? Can you connect me with this and that person? So that was another eureka moment, to create your own entrepreneurs club, which we launched in September.
Yep, I'm looking forward to being there.
And in the space of literally 2 to 3 weeks, we had 200 people apply, and that was it. So oversubscribed in 2 to 3 weeks. But the key there is build a really, really good reputation where people know about you. You know, yes, it's about the speakers of, you know, who's coming, but if you're the main guy behind it, first of all, you want to make sure they want to come meet you. But secondly, you know, reputation is absolutely critical. Mm. Someone like, I think it was, who was it? Warren Buffett or someone said it takes 20 years to build a reputation, but then it takes literally a day to ruin it.
Okay, so the question that is coming to me right now, you started talking about reputation, and this is how I do. I randomly going to interrupt you to just dig a deep.
Yeah.
What is that you're doing behind the closed doors? I mean, I'm not interested in what you're doing in the toilet. These are your personal stuff. But behind closed doors, what I would love to know is how do you take care of your reputation then?
So I do all the PR myself. I didn't have a PR company. I do it all by myself. And it's really simple. If you speak the truth, don't talk bullshit, just get straight to the point, people will respect you. And, you know, just don't talk nonsense forever. Just get straight to the point and talk about issues, what's going on, or, you know, what you want to talk about, get the name out there. Social media is absolutely key. Mm-hmm. And from there, you know, once you start building your social media channels, people want to follow you. You know, there's a lot. I'm not a social media expert, but there is a lot of good ways to build your social media quite quickly. So for me, probably Instagram's the strongest, just under 11,000 followers, and you know that's probably key. But for different people, different channels work. Mm-hmm. But yes, reputation is critical.
So you said that you do your own PR. Yeah. Now, let's transition on talking about PR. First of all, the question is, why do you do your own PR and you don't outsource that? And then after this question, then the other question is going to be, then how, for all those coaches and speakers that are listening tonight and are going to be listening to the recording and the podcast, what is it that you do in order to get the attention? Because if you've been in more than 200 publications by the age of 16, you've done something right, my friend. So please share your wisdom. So first of all, what is that, why don't you outsource your PR and you do it yourself?
Okay, well, first of all, I mean, when I was quite young, I was coming out of a medium, I did it all myself. And I've never ever written a press release in my life. It's always been a personal email to the journalists. And if you keep that personal relationship, they will continue to write about you. And as new, you know, projects come out or new hot news comes out, they want to hear about it. So for me, yeah. I built a reputation with journalists. I keep in touch with them. And then when something new comes out, hopefully they'll write about it again. And they have done. So the Daily Mail have written about me 3 times, and the same journalist has written about me. You've just kept in contact with that person. So that's absolutely key. And what was your question, sorry?
So the question is, why do you do it yourself and you don't outsource it?
Yeah. So, I mean, really, you know, it's just going back to the relationships. If you have those relationships with the journalists, it's so much easier just to get it out there. And plus, if you can do it yourself, why do you need to pay someone to do it?
Good point.
Yeah, I mean, I've never paid for any PR in my life.
So you talked about, which is brilliant. I mean, you said that the relationship with a journalist is important, because I agree with you. At the end of the day, it's you with the publication that you have the relationship. They are going to talk about you, and the stronger the relationship between you and the journalist, then whenever you're going to need it, then you can say, "Hey, I'm launching this. Can we write an article for our launch or whatever it's going to be?" So now the question is, how do you connect with a journalist? I mean, let's say I'm starting out and I'm a startup business. I don't have a track record. I don't have a huge presence. Fairly, maybe just my mom, my grandma, and my brother know about me and about my idea, about my business. Maybe the 1,000 followers, the 1,000 friends that I have on Facebook, if that. So how do I connect with a journalist?
So for me, it was very important to have a story. So, you know, people get into the media because there's a story behind it. So for me, it was left school age 16. I got quite badly bullied at school. People said I was a failure. But then as soon as you come out in Forbes magazine, all of a sudden those people from your school are contacting you saying, "How's it going?"
Immediately full of friends, right?
Yeah, exactly. I wrote to the journalist when I was probably, you know, 13 or 14. And I just said to him, "Look, I'm 14 years old. Please, can you write about me?" And 14 or 15 is quite young to be writing to journalists. And, young, you know, especially the older generation, they want to hear about young people. So for me, it was just setting my age, setting what I've done. And you literally just contact every single journalist at whichever newspaper or magazine you're trying to get into, and don't stop emailing them until they write about you. So a lot of the big newspapers in the UK, I must have emailed them 5 or 6 times.
Yep.
In order to get in. And it took me a long, long time to get into Forbes magazine and entrepreneur.com. But as soon as those people will start writing about you, then you've all of a sudden got 5 German magazines writing about you. It's like an Italian production company wants you to do a commercial. Those opportunities just keep coming. Now, not all those opportunities will happen. However, keep in contact with those people, because you have no idea what they'll do if you down the line.
And that's great. So, and something that definitely is true about you, that from these words that you said, is you're not generally the kind of person that gives up. Because for me, it seems that to get into Forbes magazine, entrepreneur.com, is email after email after email after email after email after email. Keep the relationship alive and just have the eyes on the prize. Like, I'm going to make it happen no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you've got to have a goal. So let's say your goal is to get into Forbes magazine within 4 to 6 months, you're starting your business. You know, Forbes is huge and they have a lot of journalists who write for them. And it's just the right time and the right moment. But you've got to be almost selling them something. If it's just some, I don't know, just some general business that you're trying to launch. Let's say you're trying to launch a social media company. You know, if there's no story behind it, they're not going to write about you. There's got to be a story behind it. Otherwise, there's no point. But you know, there's a lot of magazines out there, and start small. So I started by writing to the local newspaper. They wrote about me. Then there was the local BBC radio station. Then I wrote to the Huffington Post, and then a news agency got in touch with me. You know, blasted my story to the world's media, the Daily Mail picked up on it, then entrepreneur.com did, and then it just kind of just, you know, grew from that.
And it feels like it was a snowball effect on starting small, yes. starting on the local scale, because I think there is a very powerful lesson in your experience and also in your strategy. Because a lot of people, when they start businesses, I mean, when I mentor coaches or speakers, they immediately want to run an event with 100 people, 1,000 people. They want to share the stage with Tony Robbins or with Les Brown. And it's all great having that big vision.
Yeah.
But the fact is that if you don't have even one video on YouTube, who the heck is going to hire you as a speaker?
Yeah. Exactly. Right? That's the point. Lots of people, entrepreneur-wise, they want to be like Branson, Lord Sugar. That's fantastic to have a big goal, but you've got to aim a little bit small first. You know, maybe give someone like you as an inspiration, for example. Get to where you are, then go to the next goal, then just build up, baby steps. Don't just launch in, otherwise it could just crash and burn. So every morning, I'm probably up at 4:30 or 5, but I always do my goals the night before. And I wake up at 4:30 and I know exactly what I've got to do in the morning. Otherwise, if you don't organize your life, your life's not organized.
Yeah, I remember hearing that if you're not in control of your day is in control of you.
Exactly.
So you wake up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. Has it always been that way? Did you train yourself or condition yourself to wake up that early?
I think the thing is, I've always got so much on my mind, and I can do 4 hours sleep. That's probably the limit. But you know, especially young teenagers, they go to bed at midnight, and then they're in bed until like 11 o'clock in the morning. Why? I mean, your day is half gone. But I also look at it as my competition probably only work from 9 to 5. And if I'm working from 4 a.m. to midnight, that I'm working double the pace, double the speed. And if we're working on a similar project, in theory, I should get there almost quicker than that. So, you know, if you've got the vision to do something, you'll do it. So my goal is to do this company for probably 10 years until I'm 28, and then probably start the whole family thing. That's a long way off. But you've got to have a vision. Otherwise, you don't have a clear vision. That what would you aspire to be? So yeah, it's quite, it can become a little bit tiring, but you have you got to get that. I work at weekends too, so no time to relax on weekends.
And it seems to hear a very big Gary Vaynerchuk influence in there, in your words. Now, talking about influence then, have you been always this way, like super driven, no matter what, I'm going to make it happen, I'm going to work 20 hours a day for 7 days a week, or have you been always this way, or did you become this way? And then I'll ask you the other question that I have in mind.
Okay, so I've always woken up super early. So ever since like I was 7 or 8, I was waking up at 6. And as things have just got busier over the years, you wake up earlier. And it's quite nice, I have to say, because you're up at 4:30 or 5. I'm normally in my office at like 7 or 7:30. And you have at least 2 hours to yourself before anyone else comes in. And once you're in that working environment, you've got like-minded people around you. And that's the best way to drive a company. So actually for our entrepreneurs club, we've teamed up with a fantastic company called The Office Group, which is a shared office space, co-working, hot desking. And it's so interesting to see when you walk into one of their offices, they've got quite a few offices in London. Everyone's just kind of talking to each other, connecting, working with each other. And that's so powerful when you're a startup. You know, you can grow much quicker if you're surrounded with those like-minded individuals. So, you know, if you wake up early, if you have a vision, you want to do something, do it. Take action.
Very simple. I love that. Wake up early, you have a vision, you know what you're going to do, and just do it. Take action. Now, what I would love to know from you is, what are your biggest influencers, if you have to say the three biggest role model that you have at the moment, who are those three role models for you?
So Richard Branson was my first role model. And I tell you why. So he left school age 16 with no qualifications. So did I. He's dyslexic, I'm dyslexic. And it's truly astonishing what he has done. I think he's like 68 now. And it just shows if someone has a goal, they can just do astonishingly well, like him. So he's my biggest role model. The second one would probably be someone like Steve Jobs, who has literally changed the world of technology. I'm not techie, I'm not in that technology space. However, on average, what someone has like 4 or 5 Apple products in their house, and that's crazy, really crazy. And my first role model is, of course, you.
Thank you. Of course, why not? Well, that is a great to, I think that regarding me, of course, guys, for those of you that are listening to the podcast or watching the YouTube videos, you know that I'm super cool, so that's fine. But talking about Richard Branson and Steve Jobs, what qualities that they have, or in this case, Steve had, did you pick up? If you have to choose like one main quality that is different, one from Richard Branson that you say, I got to have this, one from Steve Jobs that you say, I got to have this, which one are they?
Ooh. So well, which one would I choose from each?
Yeah, one quality to choose from Richard Branson, one quality to choose from Steve Jobs that you say, I had to have those things in me in order to achieve the success that I've achieved so far.
So Richard Branson will be ambition, and Steve Jobs would be hustle.
Right. Ambition from Richard Branson and hustle from Steve Jobs. That's brilliant. So we've been talking so far on how to connect with the PR and how to connect with journals and magazines and televisions. Now, when you connect with, I'm just going to jump back into the topic now. When you connect with a journalist, how do you write that email? Is that a long email? Is that a short email? Do you have an attachment of the article that you want to send? How does it work?
It used to be literally like a documentary. I would literally like write my life story. And it wasn't until the royal correspondent of the Daily Mail got in touch with me and said, just some advice, love your story, but just keep it short. So from there, it was literally maybe 2 or 3 paragraphs, but make it to the point. Don't you know, whistle on about what you did 20 years ago or 10 years ago. Just keep it what's latest. And you've got to make it really inspiring in literally the first couple of words. So if you say something along the lines of, I'm 16, left school, no qualifications, started this business, and you've raised money, obviously, for that then. If you catch their eye in literally the first sentence, they'll probably read the whole thing, but it probably takes 5 seconds for journalists to switch off. Yeah. So they won't read it, delete. So if you can just make it super, super interesting, I think, to be honest, they're more interested to hear about, I hope no one takes offense, but the younger people, they want to write about them. But you know, not saying they won't write about someone older. It just depends what you're doing. If you've got this, I know, amazing story behind you, you've raised a lot of money, XXX, whatever, they'll write about you. If they think the story is good enough for their readers, they'll write about you. So you've always got to imagine, pretend you're the guy behind the newspaper, would I want to read the story about myself? Most people probably say yes, because they're biased, but you've got to be honest with yourself. If you think my story is worth sharing to the world, then write to a journalist.
Otherwise, keep working up until your story is worth sharing it to the world.
That's what I do.
Now, I have another question, a bit more personal. Now, you have, what has been the biggest challenge that you that you have faced in business? You know, one of these moments, and I don't know if you had this, but sometimes I have my moments that I say, why the heck did I get into this? Like, why am I even doing this, right? For why? Yeah. And then I got to put myself together. So what has been the biggest challenge that you have faced, and how did you overcome it?
So I was told I was a failure at school. People said, you're not going to succeed. And you wake up every single morning, although that was a couple of years ago, you wake up, you have a vision to, let's say, sell the company in 10 years. And you have to prove them wrong. I have no qualifications to my name whatsoever. So I've got to make this work. And although, yes, you know, you get job opportunities here and there, you've just got to prove to yourself, I'm a really interesting person. And my business is like seriously cool. Because if you think to yourself, why am I doing this? No motivation. Then you're not doing this for the right reasons. You've got to start a business because either you want to change, the world in some industry, or you want to make a product or service better. If you have a vision, like I keep saying, to change this thing, whatever you're trying to do, just don't stop. Just like keep going until you reach your goal. What else? Sometimes you do think, like, what am I doing? But it's very important, I think, to have someone alongside you. So I've just brought on my first advisor, and he's quite high profile. He paid back on The Apprentice a couple of years ago. He's a lawyer, obviously, quite switched on. And you just need that person who you can call up at 3 a.m. in the morning and you need a bit of help or advice. If you can find that person, you will grow your company so much quicker, and you'll probably give yourself more confidence too, because you've got the guy alongside you. It's almost like you're not doing it yourself. If you can find a co-founder, I always think that just takes a little bit of pressure off, but sometimes it's just better just go along and see what happens. But I think it's almost, if you have those fears or you're not quite sure where you're heading, even like taking a couple of days off, maybe go on a nice little holiday for a week and just don't work, and then all of a sudden your petrol tank is full again, you're ready to go, your batteries are recharged. So it's almost a balance. You've got to take some time off, but then again, you know, if you've got that long goal in mind, just don't stop until you get there.
And so you said to always keep going, and you said if a co-founder can help. Now, the question I would love to ask you, building on that, is what is your view on giving shares away of the company? Because there are, I think, two schools of thought. I remember my mentor says, keep 100%, keep the company yours. And then there are other people that say, give shares away, get someone more high profile that can also drive the company or give you the advice that you might not know yet because of the lack of experience, lack of skills. Or also some people just get into business and they say, I want to have a business partner, and they don't even really assess if he's the right person for the business. So what is your view on that?
So first of all, going to the shares, it's one of those things. Would you rather have a small pie with 100%, or would you rather have a massive pie with 20% but worth hundreds of millions of pounds compared to your tiny pie that's only worth 10 million quid, for example? It's very, very important you bring on a co-founder with someone you can trust.
Yeah.
Who has different skills to you. There is no point having a co-founder that has the exact same skills. I always think it's quite nice to have that male and female match. So the females always have very interesting ideas, particularly, I mean, since I'm not female. And I always thought they had different ideas on how their audience might buy the service or product. So I think it's always nice to have a female-male match. But, you know, just someone you get along with, good common interests, and you have the same goals. So it might be you want to, you know, sell an X amount of users, you want to IPO a company, you might want to do it for the rest of your life, so I don't know. But if you just have the same goals, that's fantastic. I think that the whole shares thing, I mean, when you come to raising money, obviously you're going to have to give shares away, but it's kind of one of those things. I mean, would you want a huge pie that's worth potentially a lot of money, or would you just want to do it by yourself and gradually grow? I'd rather have a huge pie with a bit of investment. You've obviously got some investors and board advisors behind you, and you'll probably grow so much quicker. You know, if you look at companies like Airbnb, Deliveroo, Uber, I mean, those founders, they probably don't have a lot of equity in the business, but they can watch their work a lot. So yep. Things. I was probably in my first year, if I was to raise money, I'd probably never give away more than 15%. I mean, that's a good number. And as years go on, you obviously dilute and your investors dilute. But it's almost one of those things, you want to get as much money out of your investors as possible, as little as you can. As they say, every little helps.
Every little helps. So you said you would not give away 15% of the company, more than that, at the beginning. And what would you use? So let's say someone is starting a business. What would you use the first investment for? Because I think that I remember when I started, and the coaching and speaking industry is a niche on its own in terms of the business side, because you have is very difficult or some really unseen to have people, to have investors that are sponsoring one person to speak. Think about that. Is like generally is a one-man band or a woman, or there is a few people. So unless they already have a solid business plan, solid products, they can go out there. When a coach or a speaker pitching investors, and unless I have a few rare cases, which I actually haven't heard, but I'm sure that I'm leaving the benefit of the doubt open. The answer is ha ha ha. So I remember that when I raised my first money, it was through a loan, through a business loan from startup loan. It's quite easy actually to get loans through that. Yeah. And I had my first loan, I think, for about £6,000. And I bought a bunch of stuff that I didn't need.
And actually, John, it's really interesting you say that, because I've been in touch with quite a big newspaper today, and they were saying, what's the number one thing the government should be doing for enterprise? And I think the government needs to do an online platform where it's almost the enterprise hub for everything startup. So entrepreneurs, successful, new, aspiring, they go to this platform and they can find every single piece of advice they need. Now, from my knowledge, I don't really know any good platforms like that. But I think if the government can do something like that, where you can find mentors, you can just find the really, really small stuff, from even how to write a press release or how to raise money through crowdfunding or investors. You can watch loads and loads of YouTube videos, but it just needs to be one solid platform where everything's there. But going back to your question on what would I use investment for? I think it depends what industry you're in. If you're in that whole technology industry, definitely an app. I'm not sure. Not marketing, that's for sure. Probably, it depends how much you raise. If you raise $100,000, get someone in, I don't know, maybe get like an admin person, a finance person, just someone who can who's almost working with you, but they're employed. So if you can have an employee, that's quite good. Otherwise, you'll just do everything yourself. And what I've kind of learned, what I've learned over the years, is you actually have so much to do when you're doing it by yourself. Even if you've got some help part-time, it's so much. So 1 minute you're doing, the media, then you're doing all your finance, accounting. You might be speaking to, radio shows. You just have a lot to do. And if you can just have that one person who you employ, who can just help you go through everything, it just makes you move quicker. So maybe like an assistant.
I agree with you. And for me, I'm a kind of, and this I had, everyone has their things to work on themselves. And for me, was that I'm a control freak. I think I'm the best in everything. And other people are not as good as I am. Rubbish. But so before getting an admin assistant, it took me about 3 years. And then I said, you know what? I cannot do this anymore. What I want to do is just to speak. What I want to have customer relationships, outsourcing speaking gigs. I want finance. I want that to be outsourced. And that's why every morning I can wake up and go play basketball and do the things that I love, because before that would have happened, I was working every single hour on the day. And right now, after GTEx is now our fourth year, and I'm taking a bit of a break after the aggressive growth that we've been the first 3 years. And now is okay. And now I want to think a bit more about myself and the things that I enjoy and the help of my assistant that was, oh my God, massive. So now I have another question for you, Ollie. And by the way, I'm loving this interview. We have about 15 minutes, 17 minutes left, and this time is flying. It's great, right? The question that I have now, before we talk about how to connect with influencers, because we talk about how to connect with media, now we're going to talk after how to connect with high-profile entrepreneurs or people. But what is, this is a tricky question, so listen to this. What is one question that you would ask yourself right now that would be a massive question, really important for all the listeners that will listen to this episode?
What happens if my business fails tomorrow?
So, can you speak a bit louder?
What happens if my business fails tomorrow?
What happens if my business fails tomorrow? What will be your answer?
Crack on, start again.
just get on with life, mate.
it's one of these things. You can't just let one idea stop you from becoming whoever you want to be in 10 years. You have to keep going. You can't expect everything to go 100% right. Most people probably will have a failure along the way. And I'm sure that will happen at some point. But you just have to keep going. Pick yourself back up and just start again until that 10th idea, 20th idea just makes you quite a wonderful person.
That's brilliant. Thank you very much for sharing, because I think there are a lot of people that would actually get discouraged. Surely we are not those kind of people, but there are a lot of people that, it's not working. I go back to my job, and they just leave their dreams on the table.
Actually, really interesting. So I've got a quote here. We've recently done a survey to students, and 87% of students want to go and start their own business, which... There are 10.5 million students in the UK, and 87% want to go and start their own business. That's huge. And why are schools not how to do this? I went to two business schools, and they don't teach you real business; they teach you business studies. And we're actually part of our entrepreneurs club, part of our CSR. we are going to launch an Entrepreneurs Academy for students, which is basically a two-week boot camp, and it is a paid course. However, they learn all the basic business skills, from raising money to writing a press release to building a social media channel. And we work with, so we probably get 50 people per course, and then the best business idea gets about $5,000. But then if they need a mentor, they go to the Entrepreneurs Club. And wow, that's something that I think, I mean, the aim is to get about 1,000 new businesses in the next 10 years for your students. And if you have those magic ideas, 1 in 100, you might be able to work with that startup and potentially make it quite big. But that's the way off, we'll see.
That's freaking awesome, May. I really wish you the best with this project, because it's needed. I do a lot of work in schools, and I speak in about probably 3-4 schools a week on a good week. And the amount of people that, as you said, they want to start their own business, they are eager to learn about money, they are eager to change their life. And I think that right now, I was reading to the book, I was listening, because that's, I hate reading, for me it's a pain. I love listening to stuff. And I was listening to the book Entrepreneur's Revolution from Daniel Priestley.
Yes.
Great, yeah. Great read. And it's talking that right now with the social media, it's just so easy for young people even to access this idea of starting their own business. While before, unless you maybe had a family business, you didn't even start thinking about, I want to start my own business, or I can make even $100,000 before the age of 20, or that it was crazy.
And it's kind of one of those things. I mean, not just starting your own business. I mean, I do some tours at universities, and it's staggering. And lots of these students, and I'm talking about this because it's A-level results today, lots of them are at university, they're starting in law, business, or finance, but they have no clue what they want to do. So there I'm thinking, okay, I haven't been to university and I'm younger than them. However, £50,000, probably for 3 to 4 years, and you have no clue what you want to do. You're studying finance, but you don't even have any experience of finance. So how do you know what it's gonna be like? So, you know, it's one of those things. I don't think university is the way forward for students. I'm a big fan of go and start your own business, maybe go and get an apprenticeship. I just don't think university is the way forward. Maybe if you want to be a doctor, maybe a lawyer, possibly finance, but all those kind of marketing, accounting, I mean, get some work experience, and then probably offer you a job.
Yeah, and don't waste 5 years of your life there.
It's so frustrating. And you come out to university, age 22, 23, probably take you another 6 to 12 months to find a job. Whereas if you leave school age 16, or 18, you go and get an apprenticeship for a year in the industry you want to study, they'll probably offer you a job at the end of the year.
Yeah. Now, what I would love to know from you, now that we know what is advice that you can give, and also your view on schooling, which is quite strong, as a and we have a very similar idea on that. Now, were you able to connect with the influencers? Or I remember I was watching, you know, scrolling Facebook feed as we do. It's a really good thumb workout, this scrolling out a Facebook feed. And I stopped because it was your Facebook Live with the Richard Branson, like 2 steps from you.
Yeah.
Now, how do you connect with these people? How do you get involved with Virgin Business? How did you do that?
So, it's quite a long story, but basically, I wrote to Richard Branson's son, Sam. He's got a charity called Big Change, and I was interested in getting involved. He introduced me to someone, they introduced me to someone at Virgin Unite. A couple of years ago, they invited me to a conference, where Richard Branson was speaking, and I've been wanting to meet Richard Branson. I was probably 16 then. I've been wanting to meet Richard Branson for literally 10 years. And I was not going to leave that building until I met Richard Branson. So literally, as soon as he sort of finished speaking, before anyone even had the chance to get up, I bombed out of the room and I went to go and tap on the shoulder. And I said, "Richard, I've been wanting a photo of you for 6 years. Please can I have a photo?" And he said, "Yes, of course, of course." And he literally held my hand, took me upstairs for a very quick chat, and then he went. And then I met him again about a month ago, 2 months ago, where it was the Pitch to Rich Voom final. And
it was Toby McCartney that won that one.
Who was it, sorry?
Toby McCartney.
What's his business?
Was the recycling...
Yeah, I know. And you know, by going to these type of conferences, you just never know who you're going to meet. So, who else? I met Tyra Banks that day, who's very nice. Sarah Blakely, and a couple of quite interesting people as well. But it's kind of one of those things. It's like going to your conferences or events, whoever's events, you just do not know who you're going to meet at these events. And that's why I created the Entrepreneurs Club, the Baidu Entrepreneur Club, as you've got 200 to 400 like-minded individuals there. They're all young, all entrepreneurial, and it's like gold dust. You should all be connecting with each other. And I've got an idea down the line, which is something similar you were talking about.
That's. I'm looking forward to chat then. I'm really looking forward, and I'm definitely going to be at the Entrepreneurs Club. Is that on the 14th of September?
14th September. If you are interested in coming to your audience, you can just get in touch with me or visit www.tpeclub.com. Very simple.
We will put the link in the show notes. So how can people get involved if they want to help out, if they want to attend, what they can expect from the Entrepreneurs Club? So right now is your time to sell your stuff, but to say, how can people come along? Because this interview has been one of the best interviews I've ever had. So Ollie, all yours. How can people get in touch with you?
So people can touch me by emailing Ollie, at tbeclub.com. Why should you join the Budget Entrepreneur Club? Well, first of all, you've got like-minded entrepreneurial individuals, the most entrepreneurial individuals in the world, uniting for 2 hours once a month. A very small membership fee. You might just meet your dream person you've been wanting to meet for the last 10 years. So come and apply, come and be a member at the Budget Entrepreneur Club. www.tbeclub.com.
Did you record an information for that? Because that was definitely very good. You knew what to say. It looks like a radio advert.
I should be, maybe I should get a commercial.
You have a hidden talent there, man. You have a hidden talent.
Yes. One day maybe.
That's so thank you very, 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 very much, Ollie. It's been incredible doing this interview. I'm looking forward meeting you soon, doing a lot of stuff together. I'm looking forward coming to Entrepreneurs Club. I'm going to invite everyone I know, because
I might even give you a little bit of commission.
Just a little bit.
Maybe we'll talk about it.
80%.
We'll see.
All right, we will talk behind closed doors about the commission fee. Ollie, it's been incredible. Thank you very much. I would love to leave. Yeah.
80%.
Uh-huh.
But I need something for this video, you know.
All right, cool. We like that. Now, what I would love to leave you with is the time to just leave with a final thought, something that either helped you a lot along the way, or something that you remind yourself constantly that helps you achieve the success that you achieve for all the listeners that we will have. And so what is the message that you would like to leave with Ollie?
So first of all, if you have a dream, get up in the morning and chase it. Stop having that idea in your head, you're going to do this business idea one day. Crack on, get up at 4:30 in the morning and chase it. And if I can help in any way, just get in touch and I'll be more than happy to talk.
That's great. Thank you very, very much, Ollie. Thank you for everyone who has been listening to this episode of Explode Your Coaching Business Show. We will be back next week, and always remember, live with purpose. Ciao.